In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the Cubs take some time to reflect on the 25th anniversary of the passing of Jim Henson. As the guys share their memories of the magic of the Muppets, Sesame Street, and more, they consider the legacy of his works and what the future will hold. Also, Minions, Legendary Quest, and dealing with rude theater patrons abound, as COL 322 starts now. July 19th, 2015. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
Everybody dance now!
And that makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
And welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 322. And we're experiencing technical difficulties.
Something like that.
Or yeah. Testicular deficiencies, depending on how you want to look at it.
Well, it's don't have to make fun of me.
It's not your... Well, it's not totally your fault.
Wow.
Well, it is a computer, and it is.
Wait a minute. You said testicular difficulties. Yes, I only have one. Live with it.
Anyways. I was not even thinking about that. Wow,
moving on.
You just totally turned that into all about you. Anyways.
Moving on into this. No, I'm still not working.
Aww.
Weekend. Finally got in contact with my recruiter. But, and she actually had something.
Ah.
He still had to go through the process of like the whole like grammar and vocabulary tests and submit that off. I got those done Friday. And then it's just about, I have no idea when this is supposed to start. So hopefully it's going to start soonly or something.
Soonly.
Mm-hmm.
Soon-ish.
Soonly.
Soonly.
Certainly.
Sooner than later.
Yeah, so there's something going on. If anything, it's going to be good. I'm working on it. Hopefully by the time I speak of this, I'll have at least worked one day or know what day I'm starting.
Work is in the works.
Work is in the works, right. So in the meantime, what have I been doing all day? I've been getting everybody through the first chapter of the Legendary Quest. All 25 of my tunes. So got through that and have started on the next stage, which requires collecting alligator stones. I mean, appergator stones. And right now I've got 10 and a half of my tunes done. Actually, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which have already completed that part of the chain. So it's a little less than that. So let's see, there's 20. So yeah, I'm actually halfway through all the tunes that need that part taken care of.
Well, cool.
To get there around this week, because most of them, pretty much everybody got at least 20 of the stones and I need like 125 of them.
Ah,
but there's only 7 bosses that drop them. They only drop about 3. And if you're lucky, you'll get a cluster of 5. And so there's a whole bunch of things going on. So I've been keeping myself out of trouble.
Ah.
Just staying at home, you know, eating cheeseburgers, grilled cheese sandwiches, having a pizza here and there.
And playing games.
And playing WoW.
Sweet. Well, like you said, it keeps you out of trouble.
You could be just playing with yourself. So, I mean, you know.
Right. Or doing a lot of playing with other people. But
true.
That would be very slutty of me.
And we've never done that before.
Oh, no. Never.
Never. No. Nope.
I'm a sweet, innocent, virtuous child.
Ha! Oh, sorry.
Wow. Oh. No delay. No delay.
Wow. I don't know where that came from. Excuse me. Yeah. Anyway.
Huh. Aben, how about you?
Banana! Yeah, anyway. Not much has really been going on, but on...
Did you watch Minions?
I did watch Minions. I saw it on Friday.
Banana!
Banana! So, I got to see the movie. It was really nice. It's a funny movie. It's an interesting prequel. We'll put it like that. It is a prequel. It tells the story of how the Minions got to be Minions and... everything. So it's fun. I would recommend it only because it's I wouldn't say cheap hilarity, but it's fun. It's fun, funny, you know.
It's not something that's intellectual or interesting or anything. It's just fun.
It's fun. And it's is there a bit of an emotion there? A little bit, you know, a little bit. But nothing crazy. I think the only problem I would essentially have is the movie is based on characters that don't have, that you can't understand most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to see what they're doing and watch what they're doing and listen to the characters and players that actually do speak to kind of get a real feel for the movie. And that can be a little odd. But, you know, that's about it. You know, it's other than that, it's lighthearted fun. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Gary?
I ran away.
Uh-oh.
No, this was planned. I think I referred to it earlier. I went to Cleveland. And I got to see Miss Ginger Minge from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7 perform.
Lucky Biss.
She's doing a traveling musical style show called Crossdresser for Christ, a relig-ish experience, the musical. And she's doing it mostly in like theaters and that.
Yeah.
So she basically is doing a stand-up show. It's not like a full-blown musical production with sets and all that kind of stuff. There's very, very minimal props. And it's sort of in two acts. She has a keyboardist and two backup singers. And she basically tells her life story. And it's a very interesting one. So she sings a whole bunch of Broadway tunes that play into the story of her biography of her life, which I thought was hysterical. She has great comedic timing, banters with the audience unbelievably. It was fun to be in a theater with a gay audience because she was crude and like funny and everything you would expect a drag queen to be.
Well, good.
Yay.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Went to Cleveland and picked up Ronnie, and we went to dinner.
Yay!
And, and Vince was with me, and then we went and saw the show. And it was a good road trip, like kind of get out of town thing. I enjoyed it. I would do it again. The only thing I will say was the show is not exactly what I was expecting, and I'm not mad or disappointed about it. I think some other people would have probably been kind of put off a little bit.
Oh.
Well, because, I don't know, it's in a theater and it's called a musical, so I think people have an expectation from going to local theater or to Broadway as to what a production is. And this is a much more minimalist
okay.
kind of thing. So, no. But, you know, I looked at it this way. I got 2 hours of entertainment, nonstop. She takes an intermission, but the backup singers do this whole, like, improv routine thing, which I thought was hysterical. And then does, you know, an extended encore with us. And I say that way because she stated it like, you know, she doesn't do that at every show. So I don't know how true that is per se, but, and I don't know. It was good. It was fun. I was happy with the price that I paid. I didn't pay the lowest, but I also didn't pay the highest. The highest included a VIP meet and greet type thing afterwards.
Mm.
And my, while I would love to do that, I wasn't doubling the price of the ticket for that opportunity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can understand that.
And the only other thing.
To pay.
Right. Well, true. Plus, you know, already paid for the gas and the dinner and blah,
exactly.
Blah, 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 so kind of adds up. The other thing that was interesting, notable about that night was, so we are in a theater and interestingly it has a bar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a standard, you know, kind of like, you know, theater that you go and there's box seats up on the walls and, you know,
yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah.
That. But halfway back on the main floor, and it's a small theater, there's a legitimate bar and there's bar seating on the left and right hand sides. There's about six seats on each side. And that's, we took some of the seats on the one side that's, I pre-picked. So the bar was closed during the show, per se, but it was interesting to be in that environment. And so we're kind of really elevated compared to everybody else sitting in standard seats.
Interesting.
So this couple is over to our right-hand side, and they would not shut the fuck up.
Oh, God.
And they're just, and they're commenting on everything that she's saying, like to the point that you almost can't hear what's going on stage because they won't shut.
Hell the hell to the no.
Yeah, so Statler and Waldorf?
They weren't that good and they weren't that funny.
Well, there you go.
So anyways, there was a couple in front of them, and at one point, the huskier guy of the two of them, which I presumed after a while was a couple, I wasn't sure at first, he turns around and he's like, hey, could you, you know, keep it down? We're trying to watch the show. And then Douche Canoe, the louder one, says, well, we're watching the show too. Why don't you turn the fuck around?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It got real ignorant real fast.
Oh.
So I noticed it. You know, I got Vince on my left, Ronnie on my right. They both don't seem to maybe notice, but I know Ronnie's closer, so he can definitely probably hear everything. So I'm kind of like, you know, trying to pay attention and watch. And I'm doing pretty good ignoring it, but it kind of goes on a little bit. And not between the two couples, but the one that's, you know, talking and won't shut up. Like, they just keep yammering, and now the blah, 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 and they're like, you know. And then he starts this whole routine about, who the fuck does he think he is? Turned around telling me to shut the fuck up. I paid for a ticket to see this show. I can do whatever the hell I want. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Because I was like, I'm about to get me an usher. And I will tell the little old lady to tell them to shut the fuck up or get the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
So after about another 5-6 minutes of that crap, that routine that he was putting on, the couple that was in front of them, they just got up and they walked to the aisle, and then they moved all the way down to third row and took empty seats because it was already a good 20 some minutes, you know, into the show.
Yeah.
And I didn't have an issue with it at all. I was waiting for an usher to come and tell them they couldn't move because I was going to get right up out of my seat and tell the usher, oh no, they can move. They're assholes.
Yeah.
And they're ruining the show. So let them move. And by the way, tell them to get the hell out or shut up.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody said anything. So I was quite proud of them that they moved, you know, up front. And I didn't feel like bothering having us move. And then about another 15 minutes later, wouldn't you know it, Douche Canoe and his possible trick/boyfriend, I don't know what the fuck he was, friend with benefits, they got up and left.
Huh.
And they never came back. They just left the show.
Huh.
So they got up and they have to walk in front of us. The way the seating is, they have to walk in front of the bar area that we're seated at higher than them. And so I totally rubberneck. I turn my head and I watch them walk away. When I realize they're heading to the door and that they're not coming back, I turned around and I said, bye, Felicia.
Of course you did.
And I hear Ronnie behind me and he goes, thank fucking God. Apparently he was really irritated too. He just wasn't saying anything.
Aww.
So I was proud of the fact that they removed themselves without it having to get ugly.
Well.
Because I thought, so help me, I'm at a drag queen performance show and I have to queen out on your ass. It's done over.
No. Oh.
Anyways.
Hold my earrings. That just
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where I was like, really, still in today's day and age. And the other interesting thing was the usher told us when we went in, because we were about 3 minutes late. It took forever to find parking. And then to realize in Cleveland, there's this thing called the Playhouse Square, and it's this huge complex of like 7 theaters.
Yeah.
And like 4 or 5 of them are all in one building. And that's where I thought we were going. No, we're in the building that's a block and a half away.
Oh.
So it's still in the theater district, but it's not
the theater.
Right. So we have to walk further. So anyways, so we were a couple minutes late, and the usher told us when we went to walk in, he said, okay, he's like, the show just started. It's not a big deal. He said, and by the way, the performer let us know that you are allowed to use your cell phones. So if you want to take any pictures or any video, that's perfectly fine. She did also say, however, that she may come down in the audience and take your phone, just so you know, which well, I thought was hysterical. So,
which makes sense. And okay, since we're talking about this, a mini rant. As a theater patron of many years, that's fine. And thank you for the ushers and whoever told them to tell, you know, the audience, like, use your cell phones. Call, you know, not necessarily call people, but, you know, take video, take photos, but, you know, realize that your phone may be taken by the, you know, person. That's a good thing to say. Common courtesy.
Just don't use your phone.
Don't use your fucking phone. On top of that, to the couple that was having their little, you know, Queenie out moment and talking through the whole thing, you wouldn't do that if you were at a movie. You wouldn't do that if you
were No. Wait. Back up.
Okay.
Yes. Some would. They would do that at a movie. Unless it is like the Alamo Draft House. Or, you know, you're not going to be – there's – no one's going to kick you out. Unless somebody really takes the time to go find an usher or something to kick you out because you're disturbing them and they're in the movie and they don't want to because they want to see the movie.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, if in the Alamo Draft House, we just say there's the table right behind us, which is talking a lot and was very disruptive. Put it little in the rail. A server walks by, picks it up, takes it to a manager. The manager kicks them out. Well, actually, the manager gives a warning, then kicks him out with no refund.
Mm. Well, good for that.
So if movie theaters, no, they would still talk at the movie theaters.
Yeah, anyway, that was one of the things.
I'm sorry.
Like watching the Minions this Friday, it was fine. I knew there were a lot of kids there, so I was expecting, you know, you can police and cell phone and whatever, you know, to your heart's content. You know, kids are going to talk, and for the most part. It was pretty quiet. There were a few things. There was you know, a family behind us that were a little, but, you know, for the most part, and actually the people next to us, there was one little girl that kept getting up and walking over to her mother trying to, and I don't know what she wanted, but it was like, okay, you know, her mother was really nice and being like, you know, okay, I need you to go sit back down, blah, blah, blah. She talked really quietly and, you know, pointedly to get the child to go back to her seat and sit down and shut up. But, like, no, don't talk. Like, don't, you know, you're ruining the experience for everyone else around you by talking. And this is not your private theater. This is not your private show. Unless you paid the money for that, then, you know, you realize that you're in an audience with people. And the venue was a theater, correct?
Yes.
Like it was an actual theater. Okay. So, yeah, there was a bar there.
It was like an old movie house.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a bar there, but this is not a bar. This is a theater, you know. So have some fucking respect for the people who are performing on stage and have some fucking respect for the people who are watching the performance. It's genuinely rude, genuinely disrespectful to do that. So, no. I remember there's a theater awards program here in town, and they started having their award shows at a bar, and it was the worst thing for them to do because everyone was at like, oh, it's a bar, so I'm going to be having my conversation with this guy over here, having my drink, getting drunk, whatever, but we're trying to be presenting some awards and stuff, and no one's really paying attention. Yeah. It's unfortunately expected because you're in a bar. You know.
Right.
you can't expect people to change their mentality. But if you're at a theater, act like you're at a theater. There are general rules that should be respected and followed. So, yeah. Anyway.
No, I agree with you. Venue is a big piece of it, and it seems that social, like, graces are lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just because we're turning into angry old men or whatever. But
bitter old queens.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move right along.
And time for feedback. Gary, what do we got?
Okay, so since the last time we talked about feedback, we have Facebook likes.
Yay!
So we would like to thank Eric Winninger, Jimmy Metliff, Ross Prescott, R.C. Robinson, and Gary McCoy for Facebook liking us.
Yay!
And in addition to that, I just noticed that we get information on this. We have two newer YouTube subscribers. And it's Nerd Productions 111, but it's spelled NerdProductionz 111. And Cosmic GM.
Sweet.
Yay. Yay. Thank you for subscribing and liking us.
Yeah. Don't forget to subscribe.
And over on Bear Underground, we also had some more people join the Cubs Out Loud entourage as a Stepsy Mel and Suck Cock Bear 30.
Hmm.
Welcome.
Welcome.
And now for this. Gary? Urban Dictionary with Gary.
Yeah, so for this episode, I found something that thematically goes with it.
Huh.
I do have a comment about it, but we'll discuss the definition first.
That would be great.
The phrase is, or two words, Muppet necking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the definition is simultaneously giving a hand job and a blow job, as if you were orally fucking a puppet.
Wait, what?
Right.
What?
Still not sure I understand this.
Well, I think I get the idea, but I'm not sure the hold on. Give me a second. because I'm trying to picture it in my head. And I think I know what it's talking about. But I don't get the Muppet part. The puppet part.
Hand job and blow job at the same time.
Like. Okay, wait. Okay. Maybe you're the puppet?
No.
I don't know.
Be like.
Well, I like the hand job and the blow job. I get because you basically you take your hand and I've done it before. People have done it before. You put your hand on the shaft and you're sucking the dick and you're doing it at the same time.
Right.
I've never heard it called Muppet necking. I just called it, you know, blow job. You know, that's part of the, you know, you're trying to get things going a little bit more and.
I think this is what they mean in the last part of the definition. I'll reword it. As if you were being orally fucked by a puppet.
Hmm.
Or just.
Huh. I don't know.
Still don't quite get it.
Oh, well.
That being said, based on what we're talking about today, I was displeased that Urban Dictionary has a handful of definitions that include the word Muppet.
Oh, no.
Some people should just let stuff be sacrilege. Or sacrilegious or religious. Whatever it is, just don't. Don't turn it into a thing. Don't make it a thing. Some things should just kind of be off.
Shouldn't that just be puppet necking? That kind of allows it to be like a... Mm.
Potentially, yeah. Essentially, yes. It should just be puppet necking, but... Well, they decided not to do that, so... Now we have Muppet necking.
So yeah, so in the example, right, in the example, there were two guys talking, and the first one says, "Hey, I saw you hooked up last night. Anything happen?" Second guy says, "Yeah, he was Muppet necking me all night." And then the first guy says, "What? Damn, you got lucky." Because as always, Urban Dictionary comes from the urban parts of our cities, apparently.
Apparently. I don't know. I don't quite get it. This to me is just a normal part of a blowjob. This is not a skill set of a blowjob. This is just a, if what I'm thinking it is what it is, then it's pretty much a part of
the blowjob.
It's just a blowjob.
Agreed.
So as we've gone down that terrible, terrible, terrible road, let's veer back onto topic.
Yeah, let's move on to the topic, shall we?
Yes.
Someday we'll find it, Rainbow Connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Wa di da di da da dum. Sorry.
Aw.
That's my best Kermit the Frog.
So we've talked about Muppets and Rainbow Connection and Kermit the Frog. So if you can you guess what the topic is?
If for some reason you missed the title of the show, your podcast app or whatever you use just downloaded it and autoplayed it, and you have no clue what's going on. We're going to talk about Jim Henson.
Yay.
And so I want to explain kind of how this came up. I read an article recently about something related to his creative works. And it was in regards to the length of time that has passed since he's died. And I was dumbfounded. So then immediately I had to go look it up on the web on Wikipedia and be like, surely not. So we're a little late on the show.
Mm-hmm.
If we had been a little bit more time appropriate, this would have been back in mid-May.
Yes.
Because it's been 25 years since Jim Henson passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Which just blows my mind.
Yeah. It's a little scary, but you realize it was 1990.
Yeah, and I was just talking to my mom about this yesterday. We were at a family get-together, and I said to her what we were going to record today's show about. And I said, I'm still kind of boggled that it's been that long. And it got me thinking about like how many things of his creative works influenced my life, things that I love, things that are pop culture references, like stuff that we do and or say. And all three of us, I feel, are part of the same generation that were heavily influenced by his creativity.
I agree.
So I was like, hey, how about we do a show talking about, now that he's been gone 25 years, his company still exists. A lot of his projects and creative things that he's done are still out there, continuing on, entertaining people, educating people. And so I wanted to kind of discuss how we feel about that and what we think the impact was to who we are as individuals.
Well, I'll go first-ish. Well, you shut up. I'm one of those kids that grew up on Sesame Street and the Muppet Show, and I not really grew up on a Muppet Show, but I saw the Muppet Show, but I really grew up on Sesame Street and everything, watched that as a kid, and was always something we watched. It's memories that are burned in my head, you know. I will never forget Big Bird. I'll never forget like Oscar the Grouch. I'll never forget Grover. and Count, you know, the Count and all those characters. I won't ever forget those characters, I don't think. You know, those are characters that were part of my life growing up, that are essential to building, you know, especially the education part of me. You know, that's what I, you know, remember listening to and watching and following those shows for many, many, many years. And then all the other stuff as well is kind of another part of that. Muppets especially. Kermit, Piggy, Miss Piggy, Fozzie, mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It's hard to say, but they will never really leave. For ill or nil, they will never really leave.
Right. I think one of the things I found very difficult when he passed away was not knowing what the future held.
Mm.
I remember that. I don't remember the exact details. I think already the business transition had come in that Disney took up the Henson property rights. Like it had just happened or was in negotiations.
Yeah.
About the company.
I think it had been done. I think it was done. I'm pretty sure it was done.
Yeah, well, there was a weird period for a couple of years, I think, that it was supposed to be happening and then it kind of didn't happen. And what I can't remember is if when he passed away at 90, it was done completely or not. But the thing I remember the most was about all the cartoons depicting like Mickey Mouse consoling Kermit, and like someone had drawn like all of the Muppets like being sad. You know what I mean?
Remember like that. Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, to me at the time, not even being what, I wasn't even 20. It was just kind of gut wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
To think that, you know, this creative force that really influenced a lot of like youth and education, but also pop culture in some ways, wasn't going to be around. Mm-hmm. And now that we're 25 years later, I find it very interesting to see how much things have not really faded away.
Yeah.
And there's been a really nice resurgence thanks to, I think, our generation coming up into positions where we can keep making projects and doing stuff. So there's been two Muppet movies
recently,
in the past handful of years. And this fall, ABC is reproducing and reintroducing the Muppet Show again.
Yeah.
Now, are they rerunning the old Muppet Show, or is this a brand spanking new one?
It's supposed to be brand spanking new.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so I mean, I just and you know, now they're in TV commercials and they're on YouTube and they're on Facebook. I mean, like, there's just there's definitely this resurgence kind of thing for a whole new generation. And Sesame Street is still in existence to this day.
Yeah.
All the characters are still carrying on, even though the voice actors and some of the, you know, body movement actors have changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, Maria is leaving, is retiring.
Yeah.
Yeah, after like, what, 44 years?
45, I think.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy.
She's been there since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's insane, really.
It's a legacy. That's the word that always pops in my head, is that it's something that has been around for so long. I don't know what it would, and it's gone away and come back. You know, the Muppets kind of, I remember the Muppets Tonight. Oh, what was that?
Oh yeah. With that one guy for the host, which had dreadlocks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was this very interesting program, but it kind of came out, I think, in the late 90s, early 2000s, maybe.
Yeah, it was kind of like they were trying to do the Muppet Show, but instead of being like a variety show in the theater, it was a television show.
Ah, 1996, excuse me, is when it came out. And it was Clifford, who was the host with the dreadlocks and whatnot. Sorry. Thank you, Wikipedia. but it's one of those things, like, I remember that, you know, I remember that kind of, it was okay, but it wasn't the greatest, and so it didn't really last that long, at least on broadcast television. It was, it says here, March 8th to July 14th, 1996, so.
Wow.
Short run, unfortunately.
Very short run, but, you know, it's one of those things, like you were saying, Gary, that, you know, those people who grew up with the show, grew up with the Muppets or grew up with, you know, Sesame Street, they were like, oh, hey, let's try to bring it back. And they, you know, worked on it and worked with people and got it back. And maybe not trying to modernize it maybe isn't always the best thing to do. Sometimes the keeping it classic works. But yeah.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that has struggled over the years is people want to do something, but they don't. But the public at large thinks they don't do it right or don't do it justice. And I remember when the Muppets, the movie, was coming out with, I think, Jason Segel, there was this whole, like, everybody was basically holding their breath.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Disney and everybody put a lot of investment time, energy, and money into it. And everyone kept thinking, don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, seriously, I think everyone was just like, I was one of them. I was like, I believe in this. I want to go see the movie. I want to enjoy it. And I pray you don't make me regret it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that I take all this time and investment to go back to something that I prize from my childhood and then what the fuck did you do to this or bastardize it or whatever.
And I think that's kind of the big thing is that it is – you're going to be dealing with people's memories of the show. And yeah, you're going to have technically a new audience to grab, but the most of the people that are going to be your target audience are going to be the people who used to watch the show, are used to see, like, watch Sesame Street or watch, everything growing up. So you're going to be dealing with those very potentially fragile memories, slightly faded probably through time, but you're going to be dealing with that over bringing something new. I remember I haven't watched any of the new stuff. I don't think I've seen any of the movies that have come out.
Hmm? You didn't see the Muppets?
Not the movies that came out. No, not the 2011. Hmm. I didn't see it. But
you should watch it.
I know. I've heard it's really good. one of the main reasons I didn't watch it was because I did not want to. I didn't want it to
ruin your childhood.
Exactly. I didn't want it to ruin my expectations.
It's all because of Star Wars, was it?
Yeah.
Star Wars is coming back. They're doing the prequels and everything. And then The Phantom Menace comes out.
Womp womp. Yeah, it's one of those things where if you're going to do something, do it well. And if you can't, and you're going to, I'm going to have really high expectations. I can try to lower them, but it's just not going to work. No matter what I do, you're going to somehow fuck it up. Like, I don't know how, but you are.
Mm. Yeah, I think if a person's willing to recognize that their memories are theirs and that the new stuff is not meant to replace them, they adjust better by watching whatever the creative stuff is that's been produced as opposed to,
mm-hmm.
getting hung up on, well, that doesn't sound like so. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really true. Like, since Disney got the Muppets, they've been putting up a whole bunch of YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
Even some, like, they had a couple commercials for Bounty. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's Mexico, some Spanish speaking country, and they're actually up on the YouTube page, Kermit's Party. I was watching some of the Muppet videos on there. They have an entire channel, the Muppets. So you can go browsing through there, see some of the music videos that they came up with. We'll get to one of those later.
Yeah. I will. Sorry, I'm looking at the Muppets on Wikipedia, and I'm realizing the last movie I saw, I believe, was either Muppets Treasure Island or Muppets from Space. I can't remember if I saw Muppets from Space, but I think I did.
I've seen both of those. I really like both of those.
Yeah, and that's sort of the issue. Like, I'm looking at this, and like, I've seen all of these. The Muppet Movie, The Great Muppet Caper, The Muppets Take Manhattan, obviously, yeah. Muppet Christmas Carol, yeah. Muppet Treasure Island, yes, I remember that. I remember the Cabin Fever. That was one of my favorite parts of it. But Muppet from Space, I think I saw it, but I don't think I did. So from 99, the Muppets, and then The Muppets Most Wanted, I haven't seen those. Although I saw the trailer for Muppet Most Wanted and thought about looking at it, and I just haven't yet. So, but, you know, they're there. Interesting. Right. Anyway.
So my question is, of the stuff that Jim Henson did in his lifetime, what really kind of touched your life the most, do you think? Is there, like, one specific project, be it television, movie, or a character that kind of, like, you can look back and be like, that thing really kind of made an effect on me? I can go first.
Go first, please.
For me, it was The Muppet Show. I watched Sesame Street as a kid, but it didn't have the same impact. Mm-hmm. I remember being a rabid child fan of Fraggle Rock. But that was because we actually paid for HBO, so not everyone necessarily got to see that.
I got to see that.
I got to see it,
too. We got HBO.
Yeah. But I remember distinctly that The Muppet Show was right up there with Sunday Night Disney Movie. When I was a kid, like, there were just certain things that you did habitually, and, like, Sunday nights, you would sit down and you would watch the Disney movie of the week.
Yep.
Type thing. And The Muppet Show was like that as well. Like, anytime it was on, we would go and I would sit and watch it. And I remember distinctly, I don't think we have it anymore, we had a hardbound book about The Muppet Show. And it was, like, all these behind-the-scenes photographs and explanations about how they make the show and all the different kind of stuff. And I just – there was something about it. And I think what I love about it is that it's a theater variety show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really based in comedy, and it's a true, like, suspension of belief, because, like, everything – most everything you're watching is not real.
Yeah.
Except for the guest stars. And that was one of my favorite parts, was to see who the guest star was that would show up. And the now looking back on it, super cheesy and ridiculous things they would do with those stars, because they were known for something. So, like, Mark Hamill would be on, and he would be Mark Hamill in one scene, and then he'd be Luke Skywalker in another. Yeah, just, like, crazy stuff. And I just, you know, I consider that, like, one of the things that probably influenced my life the most about entertainment. I like to laugh. I like to be pleased. I love jokes. You know, I just – pratfalls and slapstick and, you know, all that kind of comedy stuff is a big, big deal. And you always knew Fozzie was going to tell a really bad joke. Gonzo was going to screw up his routine. You know, Rizzo was going to beg and plead and never really get what he wanted. Miss Piggy was going to ultimately karate chop Kermit at some point.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like there were, it was so formulaic, but at the same time, you just didn't know how it was going to come together. So for me, that was, like, one of the projects that probably biggest, I think, influenced. I mean, there are so many things to choose from, but I think back on it and I'm like, that's probably the one that kind of helped me build my sense of entertainment and what I really, really like. So, you know, and I look and I liked Laugh-In and Hee Haw and Carol Burnett Show. Like, I've just always liked variety type shows that pull a lot of stuff together and make me pay attention. So I'm very curious to see this fall, I believe it is, as a side note, Neil Patrick Harris is producing a variety show for primetime.
Huh.
Yeah. And everybody, again, everybody just kind of holds their breath because they're like, everybody says since the 90s, variety shows are dead. No one's interested. No one wants to pay attention. And NPH is like, I don't buy it. I think if done right and done well, people will enjoy it. We just have too many people screwing it up.
Mm.
And not believing in it and loving it. They're being too commercial with it. You know what I mean? Like, they're too busy focusing on numbers and crap instead of like great entertainment. So
yeah.
So and he's a, you know, and he's a fan of, you know, Henson's project work. So and he definitely, I think, has the pull to bring all the crossover from pop culture and all the rest of it. So I'll be curious to see how it plays itself out. But so for me, that was probably the one project that I think most touched my life as far as like, it doesn't matter where I go and what I do. Like when I was in Florida last year, we went to Disney MGM Studios and they have a Muppet Show 3D immersion experience. So you go in and you're kind of like walking into a theater and you have like a whole holding area and there's these videos that play of like Kermit and the Muppets and they're like talking about how they're getting ready for the show and they appreciate you waiting and, you know, and so they're like, you know, basically filling for you waiting in line. But at least you're in an air-conditioned building and then you eventually get to go in the theater and you put your 3D glasses on and the Muppets come up on the screen and, like, you know, Statler and Waldorf are up in the box heckling. And then Sweetums, the big hairy oafish Muppet, the long-haired one with the big mouth and the big eyes.
I love how he's called Sweetums.
He comes out on stage. Like, literally, they have someone dressed up like him. It's so funny because you're so used to, like, kind of watching a screen. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, shit, he's really here. Like, like in the front, like, doing stuff. It was just awesome. But, you know, when the whole thing starts up and the theme music comes on for the Muppet Show, I was completely transported back to my laying on the living room floor in front of the big TV console watching the show again. So I think it just has a magic of its own. It does something to you.
Too true. Let's see. For me, I'm going to actually go with Sesame Street since I grew up on that as a kid.
Yeah.
Okay. But I grew up with the real Sesame Street, you know, the one minus Elmo.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Before Elmo took over the world.
Yeah, because I think now from what I hear is Elmo is basically instead of Sesame Street, it's the Elmo Show. Every single segment has Elmo in some way, shape, or form.
I don't think that's 100% true, but I don't really watch it much now. I don't even catch it now anymore, but that's okay.
I think we don't really expect you to, considering
I'm 35.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I want to put that aside for a moment. What I'm going to say is I think what happened with Sesame Street is Kermit got shifted from being the central like character in the early years to more about like Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Elmo came along and I don't really think that Henson's production company created Elmo to be a juggernaut. I think that sort of got away from them in that they didn't create him to be this character that, you know, took over the world because everybody just fell in love with him. I think they created a new character and they wanted, you know, people to like him and all that kind of stuff. But quickly he kind of caught on, you know, and kids just went gaga for him. And so they, you know, they followed the money trail because it's all a business. Mm. While it is entertaining and educational, it's also about dollar. What?
I didn't realize Sesame Street started in 1969.
Yep. And it was black and white to begin with, if I remember correctly.
Wow. Thank you, Wikipedia, again, for blowing my fucking mind about that.
Again, Maria's leaving, and she's been there for about 45 years.
40th anniversary was in 2009. Holy shnikes. Wow. Okay. Sorry. Just a little segue. I was sitting there thinking, like, how old is Sesame Street? And because been around for a while. And I'm realizing, you know, depending on the age of your parents, some of them could have been watching Sesame Street.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, I'm technically of the age that I would have grandkids that are growing up watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, we're on third generation now. Like if I was the first one and I had kids and then they have kids. Yeah. We would be on third generation growing up on Sesame Street and those characters.
Wow. So yeah, well, for me, there are sort of two things. One of them I'm mentioning later, so I won't really mention it now. But the other one, believe it or not, was Muppet Babies.
Muppet Babies.
Exactly.
Make
the,
your dreams
the,
come true.
The,
yeah, that's a good one too.
The fun little cartoon. It was part of the Saturday morning ritual. You know, you had like Gary had his Sunday night kind of thing. I had Saturday morning. Saturday morning cartoons was my thing. And Muppet Babies was a staple for a few years, I believe, of the Saturday morning lineup. And it was such a great, fun little show about imagination and you know, storytelling and books and you know, music and musicals and spontaneous singing and blah, 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 blah. And it is like memories of childhood and what, you know, being up and watching that show and also developing my personal, I'm a big believer in imagination and experiencing and letting your mind create things that you can ultimately do without all the props, without all the, you know, all the scenery and lights and everything. You can put it all in your head and make it, you know, your own, which, you know, kind of in a kinky way can kind of fall into role playing, but we're not going to go that route. But it built my imagination. It exploded my imagination to where I can sit here and think things. I draw all the time. I watch different things. And those are the things that I'm always thinking of things. It's a good thing and a bad thing, because ultimately I can be sitting at work and I always have a pen and or a pencil next to me, because I'm always drawing something, because that's where my mind goes. I think about things. So, and part of that is because of that that creativity and that imagination that I got from like Muppet Babies and that kind of thing. So those are the things that kind of impacted me most. The other one, like I said, I'll talk about later, but yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So another thing I was kind of curious about, and I don't know if we necessarily have one. Does anybody have a dominant memory about Jim Henson?
Like Jim Henson himself?
Yeah.
Not really, unfortunately.
I'm trying to think about it, and there are a few things. Actually looking at, you know, once again, thanks to the internet, I found the, there were a couple of, when he passed, for example, those are the memories that now are kind of coming up. Those are the ones I remember. The, he was on a lot of the magazines at the time. And the one I remember is the TV Guide episode, issue. And I believe I can find I found the picture. So I'm going to share it here. I remember that issue of TV Guide. Like, I remember that specific issue.
Aww.
Like, yeah. Like, and like, I saw it and I was like, oh God. Like, total big fat flashback there.
Realization that he was gone or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember hearing him passing, and I'm now in 1990, I would have been 11, I think, when he passed. No, he passed in 10 or 11 when he passed away. So I would have been old enough to understand his death, you know, that he actually died. So I think I think it would have hit me a little bit harder than anything else. And I think it did hit me a little bit harder than I was expecting it to. You know, I was of that ilk of the, where does the show go? What happens to, you know, Sesame Street and Muppet shows and the Muppets and all that stuff now that he's gone? Knowing now that he, yes, he created them, but, you know, they've kind of, you know, he's now has his company that can now do it, you know, so there's no big, nothing to really worry about per se. You know, they're still here.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but that's the, I remember specifically that TV guide.
For me, it was this confusion. He was on, I want to say, like, the Today Show or the News 2020, I don't know, some talk show type whatever. And I remember looking at him, I was young, and being so confused by hearing his voice. Mm-hmm. And knowing I knew the voice, but I couldn't put it together. And it wasn't until, like, later, probably as I got older, like, I understood puppetry and, like, ventriloquism, you know what I mean? And, like, being a voice actor and creating stuff. Mm. And then going, oh, he is this. Do you know what I mean? Like putting connecting the dots and realizing who and what he was, is, in that time frame. Yeah. And then, you know, and then I also kind of, like, I remember any time hearing he was working on something, I was all about it.
Mm.
Like naively as a young person, fanatical about, like, checking out whatever it was that he was into.
Yeah.
I imagine, you know, most kids kind of do that. You know, I imagine, you know, as a modern day pop cultural, you know, example, anything Taylor Swift does.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I know what you mean.
Kids just lose their shit, and they're kind of like, oh, I got to go, you know. Exactly. I got to buy that thing. I got to do that thing, whatever, you know.
It was a popular name. You put his name on something, and it's like, oh, okay, let's go see that. Let's go watch that. Let's do this, that, yeah. Because there was, oh, God, Labyrinth.
And the Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal. Yeah, there were.
Dark Crystal scared the living crap out of me. When I was younger.
Yeah.
Not so much nowadays, but it was so creepy and scary.
I remember that I desperately wanted to go see Dark Crystal, and it's still one of my favorite all-time films to this day. And I went nuts for Labyrinth, which again is probably one of my great, like, fantasy films of that I enjoy. And I remember that I went and saw Labyrinth by myself. It was the first movie I ever went to the movie theater by myself to see. There was a movie theater about 2 miles from my house. And I rode my bike down to the movie theater in the plaza, you know, locked it up out front and went in and watched it, fell in love with it, and then, like, came back and watched it, I think, a second or third time by myself. Like, I just completely, you know, bought into the whole thing. And Labyrinth is an interesting piece because from what I've read, it sort of became an offshoot because of Dark Crystal. He wanted to do something, but he had this other idea in mind, and so, you know, everything kind of springs another thing from something else. And so he, you know, conceptually came up with this whole idea and then decided to just work on the production. Also, the other thing that probably threw me over the edge about wanting to be interested in going and seeing Labyrinth was because George Lucas was involved.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And at that time in my life, I was a complete Star Wars nut. So anything that George Lucas was attached to in some way, shape, or form, he could do no wrong. because, well, I'm young and I'm a child and I haven't grown up into an adult to understand the nuances of life and that not everything a person touches is golden. Mm-hmm. So, I was like, oh my God. Like, to me, it was kind of like the meeting of the minds. Like, you know, it's kind of like Steven Spielberg and Lucas working on like Indiana Jones, or you're just kind of like, so yeah, I remember like putting two and two together and being like, oh, he is this thing and like he's responsible for this, and, you know, and then you just kind of like, I don't know, maybe put him on a pedestal or whatever.
So just an FYI for those Fraggle Rock fans, there is a to-be-announced Fraggle Rock movie.
Really?
Yep. There's from the Jim Henson Company. Thank you once again, Wikipedia. And there is a movie coming out in... there's no sure yet, but it's been in the works for many, many years. And it looks like the last note is on March 18th, 2015, Variety said Joseph Gordon-Levitt would star in and produce the film.
There's also a Doozers cartoon.
Huh.
Speaking of Fraggle Rock.
Interesting.
That is really interesting, because to me, Fraggle Rock was very much, it was born in television, and I don't think I ever expected it to make any leaps to another medium of any sort. Like, yeah, on video or DVD, I get that kind of a thing. But, I mean, I don't know. My concern is I don't know how many people would love it and want to go see it.
Well, it's the only thing I could foresee about the Fraggles was that it was a, unlike the Muppets and Sesame Street, it was its own kind of little thing. And although I personally was a kid and loved it, I don't think it had as much of an impact as those two things. Like, you go to Muppets, you go, oh, the Muppets. You know the Muppets. You go to Sesame Street, you go, oh, Sesame Street. I know where those are. You go Fraggles, and you go, oh, okay. And you don't really, you may have memories, but you don't really have any more after, unless you were born during the time, or not born, but was raised during the time that it was on the air. You don't really, it doesn't really stand out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's the only word that comes to mind, and it's a little more niche as far as who the audience and the market is. But, I mean, that's another thing that has affected my life, in that I sometimes quote it, like right before we started recording the show. it's these weird, like, you know, pop culture reference, like throwback things. It helps bond you to other people the instant if they recognize it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, and the premise concept was very interesting. It was about them all living underground and underneath our human world, and that traveling Matt was this adventure, you know, explorer that would go out into the human world and report back to the rest of the gang, basically via postcards or whatever, about all the things he was discovering and finding about the human world.
Yeah.
But primarily it was focused on them, you know, living their cares away, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's moving right along. Never mind.
So something else I'm kind of curious about with you guys is, what do we think the legacy is today, kind of going forward for the world? And the reason I ask is because we see things very much skewed from our upbringing, understandably. Like, it was things that we watched, things that we enjoyed. And now that we're at this definitive point all these years later, do we feel that things are okay? Or, you know, I mean, like, and the reason I ask is, probably about 2 or 3 years ago, I think, was the first I started seeing the Muppets come up in commercials. And at first I was like, oh, yay, the Muppets. And then I was like, oh, what's going on? Do you know what I mean? Like, I was kind of confused because I'm like, oh, please don't tell me they sold out. Do you know what I mean? Like this weird, not understanding what was happening, I guess.
Mm.
You know, with the product in that, you know, he had this business in that. And I'm happy to say that, you know, a foundation was created. His wife then carried on the legacy, and his kids have been doing that. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, there's still this very much Henson family aspect to all of it.
Isn't Brian, like, the head of Jim Henson Studios or whatever it's called?
I think he was. Which is his son. But I thought he passed away last year.
Mm-hmm. Brian, really?
Yeah, let me double check.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Yeah, because I was greatly concerned because the way they listed something. No, sorry, John passed away last year.
No, Brian Henson's still alive.
Yeah.
He is chairman of the Jim Henson Company.
Yeah, and his wife Jane passed away in 2013. But at first I was confused because I saw her name listed and it said till 1990. And I was like, oh no, surely she didn't die the same year Jim Henson did. Like, I mean, I couldn't wrap my head around that. I was like, that's just – because I thought I would somehow remember, do you know what I mean, that both of them would have passed away in the same year.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh no, the reason they list it that way is because he died, therefore they're no longer married legally, whatever. So, yeah, the kids have been carrying on the company and the legacy of that, which I think is awesome.
Hmm.
They're doing. But I was saying, I remember that there was, you know, TV commercials they were getting involved with. Like, the big one that's really popular right now is Lipton Iced Tea.
Yeah. Because everyone loves to sip their tea, even the Muppets.
Yeah. I just realized what you said.
Yep.
Let me just and just, what was it, last year or the year before? Oh, and I'm not going to be able to remember this. Who was the band that used them in their music video?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I want to say Ben Folds 5.
Hmm. As we start Wikipediaing.
Yep, Ben Folds 5. Do It Anyway.
Do It Anyway.
Fraggle Rock.
Hmm. Oh my god, that was from 3 years ago. I thought that was just like a year ago. That's so crazy.
Hmm, it happens.
Yeah, that was another like kind of awesome thing where some people kind of came together and they were like, hey, could we do this? You know, it was really about someone knowing somebody and then kind of reaching out and basically saying, you know, would you guys be willing to do this? And that's the type of stuff that I like in that case. My hope is that for the future that, you know, obviously Sesame Street is still continuing and as much as I know of doing well, other than, of course, the government keeps cutting all the public broadcasting funding, but
they'll survive, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know how many traveling tours of shows there are on ice or whatever.
Skating around that Big Bird costume must be a pain.
Yeah.
A friend of mine worked for a traveling Sesame Street production company. He graduated with a degree in theater, and he was the costume person. And his job was to repair the Muppet costumes.
Hmm.
And I remember once he gave me a piece of blue fur and informed me that that was a piece of Cookie Monster.
Aww.
Aww.
Yeah, it was really kind of comical. And I'm like, okay. But it was so strange.
Here, have a piece of Cookie Monster.
Yeah, exactly. Here's this little 1-inch by 1-inch swatch of fabric. For someone that's dressed up in full height, you know, as Cookie Monster or whatever, for this traveling theater production. It would just crack me up. I was like, okay, that's something you do every day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think most things are being handled well. I'm happy about the fact that with Disney coming on and you know, they don't really screw things up, which was kind of my feeling about the other properties they've acquired, like Star Wars and I think it's what, Marvel. They like, you know, some people are kind of like, ooh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, but like they pay millions and millions, if not billions of dollars for the rights to these things to own them. I don't think they're going to spend that much money and then make mistakes.
Right. Yeah.
And so far, they haven't.
Right.
Because all of the Marvel stuff that they've been able to put out has been great. Sony's somewhat relenting on Spider-Man joint productions and such. So, and all of the Marvel movies, even Guardians of the Galaxy, is making bank. And I suspect that Ant-Man's gonna probably do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it will do as well as Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's gonna be up there. It's gonna do well.
Yeah, I think that they're gonna do the best that they can with what they have, and you know, kind of see where things go from there. I'm hoping that another 20 some years from now, I won't feel like, you know, things have changed drastically in weird ways, or that it's faded or whatever. I would like to think, you know, in that time frame, all the characters that we know and love are still relevant and doing things that we care about.
Yeah. I don't foresee the Muppets or Sesame Street going anywhere anytime soon. Sesame Street, I don't think it would go anywhere only because of the educational value that it presents consistently, you know, throughout the years. You know, I've never heard, as far as I know, I've not heard any like educational issues with Sesame Street. Like, oh, they're blah blah blah. And now, you know, they've done some changes to make it a little bit more modern. You know, they did the Cookie Monster is now not just a Cookie Monster. He's kind of eating healthier, as it were.
What the fuck ever?
Yeah. I know. But, you know.
He's Cookie Monster.
I get it.
Making his own healthy cookies, maybe?
Yeah. I forgot what they did. But anyway, no big deal. But it's just one of those things, like the show in and of itself and everything that's going to happen are the Muppets and the, you know, I don't think it's going to go away. There's plenty to still be done. You have these characters that are so developed that you can really do just about anything with them. And you know, they've done so much with them already. It's only a matter of time that you'll, you know, I don't think you're going to really run out of ideas. You can do movies or whatnot about a few of them. You can do this, that, and the other. You can make it, you know, you could, like, what you can do. You can bring back Fraggle Rock for Christ's sake, you know. They could do a Dark Crystal too. You know, it's just, it's you know, with Hollywood kind of running out of ideas, as it were, they could always do something with it.
I thought I heard something about them doing a sequel to Dark Crystal.
Wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, and it's funny because sometimes people get all very like, don't you touch my childhood. You know what I mean? Like, you know, don't redo things, don't sequel things, don't whatever. But I think they can. I think they've proven that they can do it. You just have to not freak out and give them the opportunity to try.
They're actually going to make a prequel to Dark Crystal. Potentially.
Ooh.
In July 1st. But this was like 2 years ago. So an announcement was made by Jim Henson Company and Association, blah, 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 that they would be hosting a Dark Crystal author quest contest to write a new Dark Crystal novel as a prequel to the original film.
Interesting.
Film is still in development, blah, blah, blah. So, it's, but there was such creativity and such imagination with Jim Henson and the company and, you know, all these things that it's going to take a lot to make it go away. You know, and that's a good thing, I think, to have. It's 25 years since his passing. It's what, maybe 50 years, you know, that this has been around and going on. It's not going to go away. You know, there are kids now who are watching, probably watching Sesame Street, who will grow up and to a world where they can then look for things that remind them of their childhood. People are always looking for that. And Sesame Street and the Muppet Show, I think, will always be a part of every child's childhood in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. Sorry. I was like, where'd everybody go? It got really quiet.
We were all profoundly deep in thought about that.
Well, thank you.
So there is something that's sort of coming up on the immediate horizon this year of stuff. And I don't know if this was the article that kind of tripped all of this, but there's a link to Entertainment Weekly. And this is just from recently, a couple days ago, I think, about how Jim Henson apparently many, many years ago had come up with a concept for a Thanksgiving show.
Hmm.
Back in 1968.
Wow.
And his daughter, Lisa, when she was working on an archiving project, came across some of this information. And so apparently they are producing this Thanksgiving special idea that he had.
Huh.
Yay.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not the Muppets. It's not Sesame Street. It's along the lines of the Dark Crystal Labyrinth alternative, you know, puppetry concept about making things that don't exist before and interact with them.
Hmm.
And apparently it's going to be on the Lifetime channel in November. It's called Jim Henson's Turkey Hollow. And it's described as a Thanksgiving special for the ages regarding fantastical monsters and suspicious adults.
Huh.
Which kind of goes back to that whole, like, you know, kids and their imagination thing.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, I'm happy to see that there's something that's going on and being done that's totally new. I mean, okay, so it was an idea that was, what, you know, 40-some years old, but that no one knew about. But, I mean, it's never existed before. It's not like they're taking current creatures or, you know what I mean, or characters and putting them into a different environment. It's going to be all new.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That'll be interesting.
I look forward to when it's on digital, online, or whatever, so we can watch it.
Watch this, it'll come to Hulu or Netflix or something.
Yeah, because I don't have cable and I don't have Lifetime, so.
Yeah.
And most of these things that are created now are meant for multiple platforms.
Yeah.
Rarely does anybody create something and be like, oh, well, we're only going to push this out through, you know, cable or whatever. It's like, no, they think ahead about all the different ways that it's going to be viewed, which is good.
Yeah.
So we ready to wrap up and talk about our links?
Yes.
Sure thing.
Yeah, sorry, folks. No Tumblr this time. Didn't quite seem appropriate, but that's okay. We'll talk about Tumblr another time, so don't worry about it. In any case, moving on to the links. I think we're pretty much all over YouTube today. So
yeah,
a lot of videos on this post. If you go to CubsOutLoud.com, you'll see all these videos right there. And then, and I'm going to start off with one of my favorite Muppet music videos. Their version of Bohemian Rhapsody.
I don't remember seeing this.
Back in 2009. You're just watching it and you're seeing Gonzo and the chickens?
Yes. Okay, I have to stop watching. Fuck.
Trust me. It's great. It's fantastic. The thing is, it really takes the idea and the song of Bohemian Rhapsody, and while it does make it funny, it still is very true to the nature. If that makes any sense, it's true to the song. So, if Freddie Mercury was around, he'd think this is adorable.
Nice.
So, I have two links. And these are all just childhood memories that I remember of Jim Henson's creations. The first one is Kokomo. It was just a cute little video. I remember that video and watching it many times. And I will own, I don't like the song, but I like the video. The song.
You don't like the song Kokomo?
Okay. Let me rephrase. I used to like the song, but when you saw it practically every day for several years because they showed it all the time on the Disney Channel, it kind of got repetitive and it kind of got on my nerves. So, but I remember it because of that, and I do like the video, and I like what they did with it, and it's just, it's one of those creative things that they did. So, go Kokomo. So it's not a hate, it's just a...
This was interesting. I remember this from a long time ago.
Yeah. And so my second one, which was one of those memories that are of my childhood that sort of impacted me the most, is this Follow That Bird. It's the Sesame Street movie. I listened to it before we started the show. It was the first motion picture or, movie of Sesame Street. Granted, it's been on, it had been on TV forever. But I remember seeing this as a child and loving it and crying because he was the bluebird of, he was supposed to be the bluebird of happiness, but he wasn't happy because he was away from his family and all that stuff. And that just, this was one of the other like strong memories that I have. And it was one I was like, I remember that movie. And it's a fun, sad, happy little movie. Mm. So from, I'm now realizing 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Here's one thing is, none of the Muppet movies, as far as I can tell, are streaming anywhere.
Uh-oh.
Not even, like, purchase streaming. Like, purchase from iTunes or something.
Huh.
At least I couldn't find anything. So I'm a little disappointed in that.
Huh.
Because I looked to see if I could find something about Follow That Bird, but nowhere. It's a television movie. It wasn't, like, in the theaters or anything. But it was a Sesame Street.
It wasn't a theater.
No, it was a television movie. The TV movie.
Huh.
That's why it was on TV so much. Because it was originally there.
Huh. Maybe so. Anyway. Yeah. I know I only saw it on TV. So maybe that's it.
Well, that's why you only saw it on TV.
Because it was only on TV. Got it. Okay. Moving right along. Gary.
Ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum. See? That's how that stuff works.
What?
From the Muppet movie? The song?
Oh. Yeah, I know this one.
We're moving right along. Dunk-a-dunk, dunk-a-dunk. Anyway. That's what I mean by these, like, one-off, like, pop culture. Anyways. My link... is probably one of my favorite things of all the stuff. There's just something about it. And it's from the Muppet movie. It's the Rainbow Connection, the song. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the best John Williams, or is it not John Williams? Damn it, what the hell is his name? Written songs in probably forever, but I'm just being overly dramatic. Yeah. Oh, this is going to drive me crazy until I remember it. Paul Williams, that's right. I don't know, there's just something about it.
It's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
And recently when the Supreme Court thing came up, someone had made a reference to the lyrics. So I ended up putting the two and two together.
Huh.
Because there's a reference in the lyrics. Let me see if I can find it. Where it's part of the, I think it's the chorus where someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. And when I heard about the ruling and stuff on that day and someone made reference to that, I was like, oh my God.
That's so true.
It is. So yeah. So we got a link to the little YouTube video to check that out.
Yeah.
Yay. Guess what, folks? That's it. That's the end of this episode. So we miss you, Jim Henson. But fortunately, I think your family has been successfully continuing on your legacy.
Yeah.
In the Muppets. And I think they've been doing a great job. And Disney, although they own the Jim Henson Company now, has been doing a great job at letting them, at keeping it to what the Jim Henson Company was originally about.
Mm-hmm.
They just own it. Provide them money. That's it.
Yeah.
There's plenty of ways to contact us. Tell us what your favorite memory about Jim Henson or any of the Muppets. Plenty of ways to do that. You can pop over to CubsOutLoud.com, leave a comment on our blog. Just an email at CubsOutLoud@gmail.com. Leave us voicemail, 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/CubsOutLoud, CubsOutLoud.tumblr.com for Tumblr, Twitter, twitter.com/CubsOutLoud, Google+, google.com/+CubsOutLoud. Join us in the Bear Underground and the COL entourage, the Cubs Out Loud entourage. It's the official Bear website of Cubs Out Loud. Pop over to iTunes, leave us a review, 5-star, 4-star, whatever. We'll read it on the show for you.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, nothing new. So please rate us. We got 6, 5, 3, 4s, and 1, 2. And they didn't leave a review. Why 2? Please tell us. So maybe we can figure out how to improve the show from there. Also, you can leave us a review over on Stitcher Radio. Give us a thumbs up on there, too. You can find me anywhere on the internet as Box Set, Box Puppy, Box Cub, Box something or other.
I am TheaterCub79 on Bear Underground, Tumblr, and Nomad Cub on FetLife.
And that would make me GearBear73. Anywhere on the interwebs, I want to be found.
And with that, say goodnight, everybody!
Good night!
Have a good one, y'all!